Romans chapter 12 tonight. If you would please, Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to be looking back into these same verses we looked at this morning. And so if you find your place and are physically able to, let's stand and we will reverence the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll just read these verses again and give you the message of the night. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm interested in really that last phrase tonight. Verse number 2, he says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I never really intended on this to turn into kind of a three-part series, but that's what's just kind of the way it's happened, I guess. And what we've been looking at here is, I guess if we were to kind of head the series, what this has really all been, is all been the same thing, is you're all on the altar. And the very first thing we looked at was, is you're all on the altar of worship. And that's in verse number 1. He deals with worship. This morning we looked at wisdom. Is you're all on the altar of wisdom, dealing with the mind. And tonight, the question in this verse, and or what we're going to look at, is dealing with, is you're all on the altar of God's will. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for your word. Thank you for giving it to us. And Lord, for the good Lord, time we've had already. Thank you for the prayer time. And Lord, I thank you for just allowing us to be able to pray. Thank you, Lord, that your people are together tonight. Lord, that we've been able to assemble together once again. Lord, as your people have done, Lord, all the way back to the early church. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to receive from heaven what you would have us to receive. Lord, I pray that you'd give liberty and vocabulary. Lord, I pray that you would be strong where we are weak. And Lord, that you would manifest yourself to us. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would touch my lips and anoint me. Lord, give this special unction that makes preaching. I just pray that your will would be done and you would help us. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now again, as we've looked at these verses here, these are incredibly rich verses. You could certainly preach more than three messages out of these verses. But looking in verse number 1, he said, I beseech you. That is, I beg you. I plead with you. And the word he uses is therefore. Therefore, alluding back to what he's talked about. And so, in other words, due to everything you've been told already with the theme of the book of Romans being, so everything I've told you already regarding the gospel, the doctrine of the gospel, and the dispensations of the gospel, and all those things, everything you've been taught regarding the gospel, therefore, because of all that, do this. And so because you're saved, if you're saved, he said, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that verse is all about worship. If we really worship the Lord, we will present our bodies a living sacrifice. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. To who or what we sacrifice, to who or what you sacrifice, to that whatever that object is that you are willing to make sacrifices for, that is what holds the throne of worship in your heart. That is what you people always sacrifice to what they worship. And so if we worship the Lord, if our worship is right, if our heart is right towards Him, we will present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's what a sacrifice is. It's all about worship. And he put those animals, those burnt sacrifices on that altar to burn them up. They were giving their sacrifice. That whole thing is all about worship. And that is the question. Is your all on the altar? Are you worshiping God? And so if we're going to be right with God and live right, if we're going to live as the way that God intends us to live, and that's what this whole last part of the Romans is all about. How God expects His people to live once they are His people. How God expects saved people to live. And so this is what God expects. And so we can't be right with God or in the will of God if we're not doing this. But if we worship Him, if He holds that place of worship, if we truly love Him, if our affections are right, we will present our body. You will present your body a living sacrifice. It only seems unreasonable. He said, which is your reasonable service? It only seems unreasonable when your worship isn't right. And so, as far as God's concerned, though, it is more than reasonable, more than makes sense that you would give everything you are, everything you have, everything you ever will be to the Lord and let Him have it all. Amen? And so, we see the worship to God, then we see the wisdom of God. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, in those two things, we find really the secret to holy living, living the Christian life, living in victory, doing the will of God. And so the secret to holy living really revolves around those two things. It revolves around, number one, worshiping God through the sacrifice of your body. And that is true worship. Sacrifice of your body. Not talk about getting on a cross somewhere, but getting on a spiritual cross. And the sacrifices that God called for to die in the Old Testament, He's calling for us to live in the New Testament. And so nothing says I love you more to the Lord than to be sold out, holding nothing back from God. Amen? And so through worshiping God, through the sacrifice of our body, and then number two, through developing the mind of Christ in all of us. That's what not being conformed to this world, but being transformed to through the renewing of your mind is all about. It's all about getting the mind of Christ, letting this mind, talking about the mind of Christ, be in you. Thinking the way Jesus thinks. Looking at things the way He looks at them. Responding the way that He responds. Thinking about the things that He thinks about. And so those really are two of the major things, the two things that holy living really revolves around. Now, the next thing we find in this verse, he says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So next we find what accomplishing those two things does in our life. What it will do, what it'll do in your life. If you will accomplish the first two things, if you'll worship the Lord in presenting your body a living sacrifice, and you'll let the mind of Christ be in it, you'll let your mind not be conformed to this world and its thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, the power of God, that will produce some things in your life. Okay? It will do some things. And what it does, based on this verse, is it enables us to carry out God's will for our lives in a way that honors Him. That's what he said there in the verse. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we yield our bodies and our minds, His will becomes more clear and it becomes more important. God's will is not important to a lot of people because their body is not yielded and surrendered to Him and their mind is not yielded and surrendered to Him. Their body's given over to other things and their mind is given over to other things. Therefore, the will of God is just very, very unimportant. But as you yield, as you surrender, as you give yourself to God, as you put yourself on the altar, His will become more and more clear to you and His will become more and more important to you. If you are struggling knowing God's will for your life, odds are there's a place of your life that you have not surrendered. There's something in your place. There's a room in your heart. There's a place in your heart. There's a dark corner of your life that is not surrendered, that you're holding on to, and therefore it's causing you to not know the will of God. It's also a lot of times causing the will of God to not be very important to you anyways. But as you yield, as you surrender, listen, God's will become more clear and it will become more important to you. Y'all awake tonight? Are y'all alive? This is the Word of God here. This is what we're talking about, God's Word here. This is what God is telling us. This is not my opinion to you. This is God's will for you. And I'm telling you that if you will get your all on the altar, God's will will become clear and it will become important. And God's will needs to be important to us because nothing else matters in life except for God's will. What even are we? Who even are we without the will of God? We are nothing. We are a zero. We are losers without the will of God. We were talking about Tom Brady this afternoon, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And he's going to lose his wife and lose his family over that game, but he'll be the greatest ever. But what is that in eternity? What does it matter in eternity? At the end of the day, and when this is all said and done, who cares? Who cares? It does not matter. God's will is important, but it will only be important to you if you are surrendered, if your all is on the altar. Amen. And so that's what we're looking at. Is your all on the altar of the will of God? Is your all on the altar of God's will? Now, there's two things in this verse, straightforward and plain. I'll give you these, we'll be done. There's two things in this verse that we see regarding God's will. The first one is a description. He describes the will of God. And I'm thankful that he does describe the will of God here, because he describes it with three identifying descriptive adjectives, I guess, that he uses here to describe the will of God. And I'm glad he describes it, and I'm glad he describes it the way he does, because I tell you what the world and the flesh and the devil will do. The world, the flesh, and the devil will tell you that the will of God is all about giving up something. And I mean, that's been the question this whole time, talking about putting on the altar, giving up something. And it does require giving up something. It does require sacrifice. It does require letting go. But see, the world and the flesh and the devil will tell you that that's all that it is. It's all about giving up, and God's will is so hard, and it's just this big life of loss, and you never have any fun, and you never enjoy anything. You just live this big, massive life of surrender and misery. When the reality is, nothing is farther from the truth than that. The only real fulfilled life, the only real life of joy, the only real life of peace, the only real life that you can even really enjoy is the life lived in the will of God. You never really start living till you give up everything. You never really start enjoying life until you give up everything, till you let go and give what you've got to the Lord and just let Him have your life and get in His will and start doing His will. That's really when life even really starts, man. This world thinks that they're enjoying life. They think they're having a good time. Tom Brady thinks that he's living the dream with all of his money and his fame and his career. But listen, real living is living for God. Amen? And so we find the description here. And he uses three words to describe the will of God. The first word that he uses is good. That ye may prove what is that good. I've got to tell you tonight, the will of God is good. Amen. So he uses good. That is, God's will is precious. Anything that is good is precious. Amen. Truly good. And I'm here to tell you tonight that I know firsthand that the will of God is precious. The will of God is good. And regardless of what the Lord asks you or me or any of us to do, I'm telling you, you may not understand it on the front end, but before that thing's said and done, you will realize before it's over that God's will is good. Things have turned out good because I have done the will of God. That's what you'll say when it's all said and done. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've gone into some things from time to time and it not turn out good. But I've never done the will of God that it didn't turn out good in the end. Turn out good for me, turn out good for my family, turn out good concerning the work of God, even turn out good for others. I'm telling you, the will of God is good. It is precious. Amen. See, it's the flesh and the devil who tell us that the Lord's ideas will only bring hurt and problems and loss to your life. That's what your flesh will tell you. That's what the devil will tell you. That's what this world will tell you. That's what this world system and the spirit of Antichrist will tell you if you will listen. But listen, God will never ask you to do anything that's not for your eternal good. Amen? I don't guess y'all believe that as much as I do. But I know that's right. I've experienced that. I'm telling you, I can testify to the fact that God's will has always been good. And I hadn't always understood what God was doing on the front end. And I hadn't always understood how it was going to pan out and how it was going to play out. And I really couldn't even put the pieces together sometimes. Sometimes it's like the Lord calls us to do things, be it in His Word or just things He leads us to do through our heart. That as you look at the situation, you say, man, there's no way it adds up where I can benefit from this. There's no way where it can come together that I can come out ahead in this. There's no way that I could ever win in this situation. But I'm here to tell you, brother, if you just put it on the altar, put yourself on the altar, put your mind on the altar, and give yourself to God anyways to do His will, come hail or high water, God's will always turn out good 1,000% of the time. Amen? The only time that things don't turn out for good is when I'm doing my will. And the only time things don't turn out good in your life is when you're doing your will. But if you do God's will, it'll always be good. That's why we preach these young people. And that's why we have youth meetings. And that's why we do all that, to try to tell them, listen, doing the will of God is good. Living the will of God is the best life. Living the will of God is the high life. Living the will of God is the greatest life you'll ever live. You'll never find out in the world what you're looking for that you'll find in God's will. Amen. Listen, there's no worse testimony than a moaning, groaning, griping, complaining Christian. And it's even worse when it's a preacher. Amen? Sure, there's been hard times. Sure, there's been valleys. Sure, there's been mountains to climb. Sure, there's been dark days. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. The will of God's been the best life. I've got no sad stories to tell. And listen, the dark times we go through, they go through out there. Amen? And the valleys we go through, they go through out there. But we have a God in heaven that is allowing all things to work together for our good, friend, our good. God's will is good, and the world does not have that. Amen. What would cause some nut to go steal an airplane and threaten to fly it into Walmart or crash it somewhere to kill himself and everybody else? What would cause somebody to do that? I'll tell you what would cause somebody to do that. They have no God that they can lean on, that they can run to when the hard times and the dark times come, friend. Amen? Listen, what would cause somebody to get to the end of their road and get in such a dark place that they don't feel like their life is even worth living anymore, and they would take some drug to take their life or put a pistol their head and take their life? What would cause somebody to get in such a dark place? I'll tell you what it is. They do not have a God that they can lean on and run to in the dark times. Amen. But here we are sitting in Old Time Baptist Church tonight with a King James Bible in our hand and a song on our lips and joy in our life. Amen. Because we have done the will of God. Amen. And you may not be on the mountaintop tonight, you may be in a deep valley, but I'm here to tell you, if you're doing the will of God, you hang in there, it'll turn out for good. God's will is good, praise God. Amen. I know it's a life of sacrifice, and I know there's things to give up, but you'll never be sorry for anything you give up for the glory of God. Amen. You'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. The only regrets you'll have are the regrets that you look back on down the road of things you didn't give to God. Amen? You'll regret sin. You'll regret things you did in sin. You'll regret sinful decisions you made. You'll regret sinful things that you said that you wish you hadn't said. You'll regret anything you did that was your will. But anything you do that's God's will, you'll never be sorry for. Amen. God's will is good. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that word to describe God's will. Amen. His will is good. It is precious. Amen. Listen, don't be afraid of the will of God for your life because His will is good. I know what it is to be so afraid of God's will because the world and the flesh and the devil will tell you it's going to cost you so much to live for God. Well, it does cost. Ain't no doubt about that. It's going to cost you everything. But Jesus said, there is nobody. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is the Jacob Rutledge version. Jesus said, there is nobody that sacrificed anything. Houses and lands and family and friends and all those things he taught that he listed there. He said, there is nobody that has sacrificed all those things that I will not restore it tenfold. Tenfold. I'll give you 10 times as much as you sacrifice. He said, not just in life hereafter. He said, but in this life and in the life hereafter. Amen. Listen, we're not just living our life for down the road. Listen, that is our blessed hope and thank God for it. Amen. But I'm not just living my life for tomorrow and I'm not just living my life for Jesus coming back and getting over. Listen, thank God for it and I'm looking forward to that day. Listen, God's given me a lot now. Amen. And He's restored to me tenfold everything that I've given to Him right now. Every friend I ever lost, I've got at least 10 good brethren in the ministry that love God, that are walking the old time way. Amen. Everything I ever lost in the world, God's given me at least tenfold in the work of God and in His service. God's will is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't ever be afraid of the will of God. Don't be afraid of His will. Parents, don't be afraid of the will of God for your children. Amen. There's parents that they hang on to their kids because they got their dreams, they got their visions, they got all the plans for them, the success story that they got. Amen. They'll try to fit their kids. Listen, look, turn them loose to God. Put them on the altar. Let God have them. Listen, don't be scared of them running off to camp somewhere and getting fired up and called to the mission field. Amen. Don't be scared of God calling them to the ministry. Don't be scared of God calling them to sell out and serve God. Don't be afraid of that. There's no safer place in the world than in the center of God's will. Amen. Hallelujah. His will is good, praise God. But then the next word He uses is acceptable. So it's a good will. That is, it is precious. I tell you, the most precious thing in my life is God's will. But not only is it precious, He said, is it acceptable? That is, it is pleasant. Again, so often we get afraid of God's will because it's like this big life of loss, you know. We just give up everything. But let me just tell you, that's only on one side of it. Once you actually give up everything and you get on the other side, listen, it's as pleasant as can be. I'm not living some big life of loss. Amen. Are you? I got more than I thought I'd ever have. Listen, I'm further down the road than I ever thought I'd be. The Lord's blessed me more than I ever deserved. Amen. Amen. We all ought to be in hell tonight. Amen. But because we are in His will, we're in church. Praise God. And by the way, you can't be in the will of God outside of church. Amen. So you're at least in God's will there. Amen. But I'm telling you, as you and I look at and evaluate and calculate our life, you will find that the very best things that you have in life and the most pleasant things that you have in life are a direct result of God's will. Amen. And it'll always be that way. God's will is only unpleasant when you're not surrendered. When you're trying to have your cake and eat it too, and you're trying to bargain with God and cut deals with God and hold on to what you want to hold on to but still do God's will, I tell you what happens, His will becomes a big burden and becomes very unpleasant. Amen. It becomes hard. It becomes difficult. It's not easy to do. It's not fun. It's not exciting. Listen, the world looks a lot better and looks a lot brighter, and the work of God begins to look a lot dimmer, and it looks like just like this big life of sacrifice and this big life of just loss and giving up. But listen, when you're surrendered and you've given yourself to God and your mind and your body is on the altar and your mind's been transformed and been renewed, I tell you, you'll find the will of God to be acceptable. You'll find His will to be very pleasant in your life. There's nothing you'll enjoy more than doing the will of God. I found this to be the case in my life. When I was lost, I didn't care anything about being around God's people. I didn't care anything about being in church. Nothing was more boring than have to sit through a preacher preaching. It was so boring. I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't wait. Listen, when I did get out, I sure didn't want to be around them church people. I sure didn't want to be around the preacher. Amen. I didn't want to be around them folks. But listen, once I got saved, once God changed me, once God made me a new creature, who do you think I started hanging out with? I started hanging out with the preacher. Amen. I wanted to be at the preacher's house. And so then, voluntarily, I'd go to the preacher's house. I'd hang out with the preacher. Voluntarily, I'd talk about the Bible. Voluntarily, I wanted to be in church. Listen, everything became different. And suddenly, the will of God and all the things that God had called me to do and called me to obey and the Word of God became something I loved and enjoyed in my life. It became pleasant in my life. And God fixes it to where the will of God will be pleasant and the things of the world will become very unpleasant. And if it's the opposite in your life, if you only find pleasure and find the world pleasant, but you find the things of God unpleasant, there's one of two things wrong. Either you're lost and need to be saved, or you've got some area that you've not surrendered in your life. God's dealing with it, and you know what it is. You need to get it on the altar. As soon as you confess that thing and surrender that thing and give it to God and get right with God, I tell you, the work of God will become the most pleasant thing. Everything else in your life will just be something you have to do. The will of God and the work of God will be something you'll be wanting to do. Amen. And so, His word, His will is acceptable and it is pleasant in the sense that when His will is revealed, it's something that you're made willing to do. God will never force you to do His will unwillingly. He'll only reveal His will when you're ready. See, God grows us so that we're equipped and ready for whatever He calls us to do whenever He calls us to do it. He never calls you or me or anybody to do His will, to do something outside of the time that you are ready to do it. If He's calling you to do it, if He's asking you to do it, if He's got it on your heart, if He's revealing His will to you, it's because you are ready to do it. The question is, are you willing to do it? See, if His will seems unacceptable to you, the fact is you're just overlooking something in your life that God's trying to show you. Something that God sees that you don't see. He'll never lead you to a place that you're not ready to go. Never. We see a pretty good example of that in Moses. Moses was out in the wilderness with God. God was getting him ready all those years. And when he was ready, God said, "This is what I want you to do. He wants you to go lead my people out of Egypt." And God knew he was ready. But Moses didn't think he was ready. And he had all those excuses, you know, why he can't do it. But I tell you, church folks, they can really come up with some excuses. I tell you, if you want an excuse to not do God's will and why you can't do God's will, I'm telling you, your flesh and devil will give you a list of them, buddy. I work too much, I got this going on, got that going on, too busy, too tired, too poor, too rich, too this, too that, too the other. Got so many things going on, we got all that stuff. I'm telling you, the devil will give you a list from here to that door long enough why you can't do God's will. But if God's called you to do it, you can do it. You can do it. You can dress right in this present evil world. I don't care what Hollywood's pumping out, what the fashion statements are. If God's called you to live modest and dress modest, you can do it if you want to. You can live godly in this present generation if you want to. Amen. You can know God and you can walk with God. You can read your Bible and know the Word and you can have a prayer life. You can do all those things. And by the way, all of those things are God, things God's called all of us to do. That is His will for all of us. And you can if God has called you to. And God has called you to. Now you can come up with a million and one excuses why you can't, but if God's called you to do it, you can. That's the general things. Listen, you can be faithful to church if you want to be. You can be. And I know that for a fact in my own life. I know that because that's the character of God, because I know God and I know how God is. But I've seen it in my own life. Listen, you young ones, listen to me, and I will help you right here. Make up your mind right now that you'll never do anything that takes you out of the house of God. Never. Just make up your mind right now. I don't care how, if they pay me $5 million a year, I'm not taking the job if I got to work on Sunday. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. Listen, I made my mind up on that very early in life, and God has blessed me, and God has taken care of me. And listen, a lot of people would say there's no way you could raise a family on a single income in this day, and there's sure no way you could raise a family on a single income and not have to work on Sunday or Wednesday. But I've done both of them, but I hadn't done it. God has done it. Amen. God will do it in your life somehow if you'll sacrifice and be willing to give up what you've got. God will give you His will, friend. Amen. And I'm telling you what will happen. It will be so pleasant to you. It will be so pleasant. The most joy you'll ever have in your life is when you get totally surrendered to His will. Just like I talked about this morning, there at the talking about that, you know, harboring sin, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. The devil will tell you you cannot confess that. Man, you can't confess that to your wife. She will never understand. This will be the ruin of you. You can never confess that to your husband. He'll never understand. This will be the ruin of you. You can never confess that to your parents. They'll never understand. This will be the ruin of you. You can never confess that to this person. You can never confess that to the church. You can never, listen, if it gets out, listen, you are done. You are through. But listen, that only happens. You're only done and you're only through if it gets found out rather than confessed. Amen. But God said, God promised, if you confess and forsake, if you just surrender, you will find mercy. You will find His will. It's all about getting it on the altar. I'm just saying, His will is pleasant, and it will be pleasant when you surrender. And He'll never ask you to do something you're not ready for. What about Abraham in Genesis 22? God called him to put His own son on the altar and sacrifice His own son. But you know why He did it? He did it because Abraham was ready, because He knew Abraham was ready to do it. He wouldn't have called Abraham to do that if Abraham wasn't ready. And what does the next verse say after God called him to do it? God came to him in that dream, came to him in that vision. The next verse says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He wasted no time doing God's will. Amen. I believe all of us as parents, God's called us to put our children on the altar. Amen. Amen. We ought to all put them on the altar. Put your children, your grandchildren, your family. Put them on the altar. Let God have them. Amen. Amen. I said from day one, listen, I don't care if God has to take them boys halfway around the world and use them in some third world country. That's fine with me as long as they're doing the will of God. Amen. Listen, they can be on the mission field somewhere or they can be digging ditches somewhere as long as they're doing God's will. Amen. That's what's important. And God's will be pleasant. No one's ever miserable doing God's will. The only miserable ones are the ones trying to do it with an unsurrendered life. Amen. And so if His will seems unacceptable, you're not seeing something that God sees. He'll never lead you to a place where you're not ready to go. What about Israel in the wilderness? Caleb and Joshua, they were the only ones that were willing. All of Israel was ready, but only Caleb and Joshua were willing. And since they were the only willing ones, even though all of them were ready and equipped, and since they refused to follow, they faced judgment instead of blessing. They could have spent all those years in the promised land, But instead, they spent them out in the wilderness. And that's a lot. That's the way a lot of people are living their lives tonight. You ought to be in the promised land with God, living the greatest life anyone could live. Having all the blessings, experience all the spiritual milk and honey that God has to offer, and yet you're wandering in the wilderness, dead and dry, and you don't know why you don't enjoy church like you used to, and you don't know why you don't enjoy it like everybody else seems to, and you don't know why you don't desire the will of God, and don't know why you don't just find more in this than what you're finding. I'm telling you, the problem is you're in a dry place, brother. You're dry because you're in a dry place. You're in the wilderness instead of in the promised land because you know what God's will is, but you're not willing to do it, even though you are ready to do it. You can do it. You can. So when God reveals His will, it's because He knows you are ready. The next word, He describes it as perfect. God's will is precious. It is good. God's will is pleasant. It is acceptable. And then God's will is perfect. It's perfect. See, nothing you or I could ever do to add to God's will could ever make it any better. We think we're going to help God out sometimes, you know, right? Like we've got our life planned out. We've got our ideas. We've got our plan. We've got mapped out who we're going to marry and the job we're going to work and where we're going to live. And it's so perfect in our minds. Like if it works out this way, it'll be so perfect. But the only thing that's perfect is God's will. And you can't ever add anything to God's plan that would ever improve it. But see, what scares us to death is letting go of all that. Because what we think with the flesh and the devil makes us think is God's going to wreck it. Well, I tell you what's going to wreck your life. What's going to wreck your life is not marrying in the will of God, it's marrying out of the will of God. That's what will wreck your life. I tell you what will wreck your life. It's not doing what God wants you to do with your life in your career and your career path and what in your plan, all those things. It's not doing God's will, doing your plan, doing your will, working the job you want. That's what will lead to a long life of misery. Amen. I mean, I've heard all my life, you know, do something that you love and you'll never work a day in your life. No, do God's will and you'll never work a day in your life. Amen? Listen, when your heart is right and you're doing what God wants you to do, listen, you can't help but enjoy what you're doing for the glory of God. Amen? Listen, because His will is perfect. It's perfect. So realize that God sees the end of the matter before the matter ever begins. God sees the end of this thing. It ain't even started yet, and God sees the end. You don't even see the starting line on a lot of stuff. But He sees the end where you don't even see the start. Realize that. Realize that God knows best. And not only does He know best, He wants best. He will give you best if you'll do His will. See, He knows all the paths. He knows the obstacles. He knows the valleys we're going to pass through. He knows all that stuff. He knows where the provisions are along the way too, though. He knows the provisions along the path of His will that He's already placed out there that you don't even know they're there yet. He knows it all. He knows where you can get exactly what you need to keep you going another mile. You can't see it, but God can see it. You can't improve it, but you must follow it if you'll ever have victory and blessing in your Christian life. You must do God's will. It's only going to be found in God's will. You can be in no better place than the perfect will of God for your life. There's a description of God's will. I'm glad He described God's will because I can say amen to all of it. Every time I've done God's will in my life and obeyed God, I've found it to be good. I've found it to be acceptable. I have found it to be perfect every time. Every time. Haven't you? Amen. I mean, I know we all hadn't done God's will in everything, and I know we hadn't always been right. We hadn't always done right. But every time we have, we can say it's been exactly what He said it was every time. Can we not? Can you not say it's always been good? It's always been acceptable, and it's always been perfect every time. Amen. So there's a description. Then last of all, let me give you this very quickly. There's a demonstration here. He says, that ye may prove. That ye may prove. By getting on the altar, you will be able to prove, or that word means to live out, the will of God in your life. And you'll specifically be able to do it before a lost and dying world. You'll specifically be able to do it before a world that is looking, that is watching. And what will happen is they will know that there is power in the gospel. They'll know. You'll be proof to a doubting world that God can take the absolute worst and make the absolute best out of it. You'll be living proof to a world that doubts God, to a world that hates God, to a world that doesn't want to believe in God. You will be the proof before them, able to live out His will. See, this modern Christianity, what we call modern Christianity that's reaching the world and reaching everybody, is reaching nobody. Because whenever you bring God down to the world's level and He's no different from the world, listen, you're not reaching them, they're reaching you. The church is not reaching the world, the world's reaching the church. Amen. And whenever the world, when the lost world looks at all this foolishness that's going on, there is no doubt in my mind. They look at that and they say, there's nothing to it. Listen, it's just like when Nathan came to David and talked about how he's given the enemies of God an occasion to blaspheme. And that's what's going on with all this stuff. It's giving the enemies of God, all the God haters, all the doubters, all the unbelievers, it's giving them an occasion to blaspheme, to look at the things of God and say, there's nothing to it. There's nothing in it. Listen, coronavirus is around. The church is non-essential. Amen. Because the church is non-essential to the world. Because of all the foolishness that goes on in most churches now. Amen. And when God's people, self-proclaimed God's people, look like and act like and live like and are given over to the same things the world's given over to, it gives them a reason, an occasion to blaspheme God and say there's nothing to the gospel. Amen. Amen. It gives them an opportunity to look, to examine your life and say, well, they say they're saved. And I know she or he goes to Unity, you know, goes down to that church, you know, that Baptist church. And they might ever say this, but they'll say it to themselves. They'll know it in their heart. They're no different from me. There's nothing to it. Why would I go to that church? They're no different from me. Why would I read that Bible? They're no different from me. Well, you know, why would I believe all that stuff? They're no different from me. And they may not ever say it with their mouth, but they'll say it in their heart and they'll know it in their heart. There's nothing to it. But if you're fully surrendered and you're doing the will of God, I'm telling you, the power of God will be expressed through your life in a way you never thought it would be. And a lot of times in ways that you don't even realize. God will begin to use you and you will become proof to the doubting world that God can do something, that there is power in the gospel, that the gospel does change people's lives. It only happens when you're surrendered to God's will. You'll be the evidence of God's power in a perishing world. See, we're His hands and His feet. We're His body. The only evidence of Jesus Christ here is anyone who's saved. And you've got to be the evidence. We've got to be the evidence. See, what will happen is you'll finally become the salt and the light that we were commanded to be by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. When He was talking about that, He said, you know, if the salt hath lost its savor, if it's lost its saltiness, what good is it? And ironically, the church and most of self-proclaimed God's people have lost their saltiness. They have lost their savor. Therefore, the world views us as good for nothing. Therefore, when there's a pandemic worldwide, they're not looking to the church to pray. They're not looking to God's people to pray. They're not looking for people to fast and pray. Instead, we need to shut the churches down because, you know, they're spreading the coronavirus and they're non-essential. And when salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. And so that's what they say now. Just throw all that stuff out. Let's quit all this church stuff. They're spreading the coronavirus. Quit, just cast all that, quit all that non-essential stuff. And I tell you why. Because we have become nothing different than the rest of the world. Is your all on the altar? Is it really on the altar? The only way to be the salt and the light that God wants us to be, and the only way to prove the will of God before a lost and dying world, is to have our all on the altar. So the secret of living the holy life boils down to surrender. Surrendering control, surrendering your body, surrendering your mind, surrendering your will to God. And the question tonight is, does that describe you? Not the person next to you, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your grandkids. Not the person across the aisle, but you. Does that describe me? Am I totally surrendered to everything that I know to be surrendered to? Is God in absolute control of all that I have and all that I am? God controls it all. The first question is, are you saved? Are you saved? You know and God knows if you're really saved. You know and God knows if there's ever come a place of true Holy Ghost salvation in your life. You know and God knows. And if you're saved, the next question is your mind being renewed by the transforming power of the Word of God? Are you shunning the things that need to be shunned, like we talked about this morning? Are you allowing the Word of God to shape your mind, shape your thinking? Number three, have you surrendered to the will of God for your life? Have you surrendered? Is your all on the altar? Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for your Word, and I thank you for helping us with it. Lord, as we look at your Word, Lord, as we study the book of Romans, Lord, we are finding what you expect of us, or what you expect of anyone who is saved by the grace of God. And Lord, you are right to expect it. Lord, you deserve it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to be fully surrendered people. Lord, I pray for anything in anyone's life, Lord, mine included, Lord, anyone in our church, Lord, I pray that anything, big or small, Lord, it may be insignificant in the eyes of somebody else, but Lord, if it's big, if it's small, if you're asking for it, it's a big deal. And I pray that it'd be surrendered. Lord, I pray that this altar would be a place, Lord, where your people have laid down everything that you've put in their heart to lay down tonight. That decisions will be made and where commitments will be made. Renewing will take place, God, that we will put ourselves and our lives on the altar. Lord, that you might work, that you might move, Lord, that we might experience, Lord, the good and the pleasant, Lord, the acceptable, the perfect will of God for our lives and our church. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. Give us the grace and the faith to respond to you as you'd have us to respond. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.